And this is our number 10.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
It's a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. Ursula and Nicole are trying to talk me off a ledge here. It's a subject I can't even discuss.
Silly.
Can't even discuss. No, it's all fine. It's all good.
It's all good. About Dory being very competitive.
Oh, it's all good.
And this is why you don't take vacations, though. Really, I've told you that. Don't take vacations.
Nicole's all over me about my... Yeah, you know,
and I say the opposite. You need to take vacation so that you are fresh.
Even if I hadn't taken vacation, they still would have cut into me because my appendix. So I still would have missed that.
True.
Work.
Yeah, don't get ill either.
Yeah, no illness either. Okay, nobody even knows or cares what we're talking about. Here. So let's move on to a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Dave Wyman is going to join us. And Sean, what are we thinking about for the thematic musical competition today?
You know what? I need to put some thought into that. You want a theme today?
I don't know.
Because like that's a pretty good idea.
Yeah.
We could do all songs with, you know, from the 1965.
Is that too early?
For who? For Dave or for you?
For both of us. We're both too young for that. What do you mean for me?
Okay, all songs from 1989.
I don't think I'd be good at that.
Hmm.
Pick a year. Yeah, make
okay,
it a year.
Okay, how about 77? That's my birth year. It's a great year.
Yeah, I think that's too young for Dave. Mm. That'd be too big an edge for me because that was my senior year in high school.
So far, this is going great.
Yeah. Okay,
we should do this on the air.
Come up with something. We will. Okay, so Dave Wyman's going to join us. We're going to talk about the Robinson Cano suspension, which I find infuriating, but we'll see what Dave's take is, because I know that they've had Cano on their show a bunch, and I think he really likes Robinson Cano on a personal level. So we'll talk about that and lots more. So here's something we thought we would try. Yesterday, when Sawant got called out by Sally Bagshaw for using the printer, one of her socialist groups, her staff was using the City of Seattle Council printer or copier to make propaganda for some of their marches. And so Sally Bagshaw called her out, and it led to this very uncomfortable little exchange.
On multiple occasions, I've seen your staff using our copiers to print your signs. Most recently, the tax Amazon by the Affordable Housing Alliance. I just don't think it is right for us to be using city resources or the copy machines to promote something that not all of us agree to.
Okay, fair enough point. But then Bruce Harrell tried to join in, and it was just a big awkward fest for a couple of minutes here.
Okay. Show some leadership. You could restrain. I mean, go ahead and respond. I didn't realize you were going to get in there. I'm going to turn right to EHG in a minute here. Go ahead.
Well, I didn't ask Councilmember Bagshaw to say what she said.
I get it. I didn't know she was going to say that. So.
What's wrong with calling out somebody if they're using the copier for socialist/communist political propaganda? Maybe the taxpayers shouldn't have to pay for that. But anyway, Sawant, she was kind of stumbling through her whole explanation of this.
The animus, as Councilmember Bagshaw talks about, is the...
Okay, so that was where she kind of stumbled through. And I had a couple of listeners who said, well, you know what? That could make, even though it sounds, you know, isolated, it sounds a little bit uncomfortable. But, you know, when she said but a couple of listeners said, but you know what? That could be a really good revival tour if we could get Stuart Copeland and Sting and Andy Summers back together and get Kashama Sawant to tour with them. Well, then that little stumble all of a sudden makes kind of sense.
The
was the right one.
What?
Don't play that. Dang, I worked so hard on this
I know
morning.
You did. Oh, wait, I got it. Here we go. Because you have to ramp up to it. Oh, man, did I love the Police back in the day. If they could get SWAT back together with them, I think that would be
back
hot.
Together.
Oh, back together? I don't think they were ever together.
That would be fantastic.
Here we go.
Oh, yeah, we're wrapping up to it now. Take it, Keshava! I would pay to see this. So
that's fantastic.
Now we're trying.
You didn't finish. Like I spent so much time on that. And you just cut it off. Like that.
Happy now?
All the way to the end.
Was there going to be a high point on that one?
No. That's what he wanted, though. Let me tell you. He was very specific.
Oh, yeah. No, she put together an early edition of it and sent it to me about 8 o'clock this morning. Says, is this what you're thinking of? And I'm always very positive. And I said, well, this
is... You've got all those great ideas.
I said, this is good, but how... And here's my problem. Here's the curse of me. I can't do any production. I am completely helpless. I can't load one audio clip. I've been doing this show for 23 years.
It's not that you can't. I think you've just decided you don't want to.
But that's exactly right. And so I am completely at the mercy of everybody around me. So I have these ideas, and I try
very
to
specific.
And I try to communicate them, and then she sent an early version. I go, well, that's really good, but what if we try
And then
this?
You play her earlier version first.
And then I screwed up, and I played the early version. But it's just hard to... I got to learn how to do production. Yeah. That's the bottom line.
You don't have time.
Yeah.
It's freeing.
It takes time.
Then I'd spend all my time on production, and that's the last thing I need. Okay, up next in the Fastest 15. So we also found out yesterday that, along with the head tax, Safeway and Albertsons are closing two of their Seattle stores. They say this is unrelated to the... It's really funny, kind of. They said it's unrelated to the head tax, but they said it is related to all of the previous taxes. So the $15 an hour and the flexible scheduling and all of this. And here's the irony of all of this. Because there are major cities where, especially in the most urban of neighborhoods, there are no grocery stores.
That is true.
And so, you know what's going to be left in Seattle? Once we drive out Albertson? Amazon Go! Because they don't have employees. They don't have to worry about the head tax at the Amazon Go. And so the irony of this... You know,
there's still too many people like me who actually like that interaction. So,
but
no.
Not if you don't have a store to go to.
They're, I know. So they're we all need to keep the stores the going.
They're all going to leave the city at this rate. So, because grocery stores have a lot of employees and they operate on a tiny margin. And if you are taxing the labor the way Seattle does, then they aren't going to be profitable operating in the city. And you combine that with skyrocketing real estate. You take the footprint of an Albertsons or a Safeway and you sell it to a condo developer. You can make, you know, tens of millions of dollars.
Well, that Albertsons that they're talking about, I mean, isn't that the one that was next to the Kmart? I mean, there's a giant parking lot.
Yeah, up on Aurora.
On Aurora, right.
Yeah. And since retail is dying at every other level, and you start redeveloping those things into a little condo development with a Subway on the ground floor, or whatever it's going to end up being, you're going to see all the businesses driven from Seattle because of the local politicians here. So on and on it goes. But two more grocery stores gone from Seattle. And one more thing. Then you have the poorest people who used to be able to access these stores, and a lot of them don't have cars, and the way they get around is Uber, and now the city council wants to double the price of Uber, and so the poorest people are going to lose having grocery stores. The only place they're going to have are those little corner delis where the prices are through the roof. If they want to go shopping and get an Uber to take them to one of the grocery stores still remaining, then the transportation costs are going to be through the roof. And then they wonder why Seattle's such an unaffordable city. And it's because of their own policies. Next up in the Fastest 15, there has been a settlement. Frances Bean Cobain, the daughter of Kurt Cobain and Courtney Love, she's divorcing her husband. And the major item left to be settled in the estate, who gets what, was Kurt Cobain's famous acoustic guitar. And TMZ has just learned that they reached a property settlement agreement 6 months after the divorce became final. And the ex-husband, Isaiah Silva, gets Kurt Cobain's acoustic guitar.
And that's just infuriating. Why does he get that guitar?
I don't know. That doesn't make any sense.
No.
That his own daughter, his flesh and blood.
I mean, that's like a keepsake for, you know, her dad who's no longer here.
It's the one that he played in that famous MTV Unplugged show. And according to the TMZ sources, Frances Bean wanted the guy out of her life for good. She didn't want the mess of a trial to bog her down. And plus, and you know, their point is, she was only 1 year old when he committed suicide. And so I don't know if she has that much emotional attachment.
Still her dad.
I know. And apparently a lot of Nirvana fans are really ticked off about it. But she just decided, it's my life. I want to move on.
Yeah.
I want to be done with this. And then what was the ruling yesterday? There was another Nirvana-related thing
yesterday?
Yeah,
so this is having to do with the pictures of Kurt Cobain after his death by suicide. So there is a public TV host named Richard Lee, who has been claiming that Kurt died, was murdered.
For 30 years.
Yeah, so I mean, this has been going on and on and on. He's you know, waged this legal battle. Now the State Court of Appeals has upheld an earlier court decision that says those pictures are exempt from the State Public Records Act. So
I don't want
to
see
don't
those
have
pictures.
To, well, yeah, and nor do Cobain's widow, Courtney Love, or right. Frances Bean. They don't want them released, too. They're really personal.
Yeah.
It's a violation of their privacy rights and Kurt's.
So they
now
are
the
not
court,
going to release
so
the
as
suicide
of right
photo.
Now, yeah, so the exactly. So the State Court of Appeals has agreed with an earlier ruling saying you can't release them.
I can't even believe that's subject to a court hearing. That if a family doesn't want their loved ones' suicide photos released, that still was a question that a judge needed to decide.
Well,
that's
exactly.
Disturbing.
Well, and then this guy keeps saying, you know, that it's, you know, that he was murdered, and he says you've got to see the pictures so that he can prove his point.
Did you ever see his show?
I tried not to, but I understand you have.
I have to tell you, there was a time when my wife and I first got married, I did three things. I worked, I played a ton of softball, and I watched a lot of TV. That was kind of my whole life back then.
Okay.
And I just vividly remember, because in our Ballard house, the first generation of cable boxes.
Uh-huh.
First of all, you didn't have a remote control, which was outrageous.
Right, so you actually have to physically get up and
but
switch.
It was a slide.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a slide thing. And it had a long cord, so you could just lay the box on your chest while you're laying on the sofa. But there were two things that I remember I was kind of obsessed with. There were the soft core channels, you know, like Skinamax and all those. And they were scrambled. And you would you'd watch those because you could get the audio, and you would hope that maybe you could see, but it was a horribly scrambled, distorted breast, and it was like some
oh my word,
impressionist.
So you actually
painting.
Try to sit there and try to unscramble it with your eyes?
Yeah, yeah, that was one thing that we used to do.
Okay.
I'm acting like I'm not alone. But then the TV, I think it was Channel 29, the public access Seattle TV. And it was just a steady stream, but I was, for some reason, I was fascinated with it. And it was this guy. And I didn't watch his show much because I didn't find much interest in the was Kurt Cobain murdered. But they also had, and I mentioned this woman a couple of years ago, and she started emailing me because she still wants to be famous, the goddess Kring.
Oh.
Yeah, and she would put on body paint and dance around and recite poetry. And then there was a guy, gosh, what was his name? Oh, there's Spud Goodman, of course.
Oh.
Who had me on his show. Me and my King 1090 morning show mates, Pat Cashman and I think it was Lisa Brooks.
Yeah, and this was in the middle of the night. I mean, so this is like watching the middle of the night or this?
No, it was beyond in the evening and late
just
night.
Anytime.
Yeah, but my wife worked days and I worked nights and we had completely opposite schedules.
And this is just kind of programming you just couldn't see anywhere else and it was kind of bizarro world.
Yeah. And then there was the Reverend Bruce Howard, and there would just be an intense close-up on his very angular face, and he would preach, and he would have spittle coming out of his mouth, and the whole background was pitch black, but he had a couple of, like, kids, and their faces would be up against the pitch black background, and he would just preach for an hour, spittle flying. And I was fascinated with that guy, too. I loved those days. That
I guess I don't have to feel guilty about watching Real Housewives anymore. I watch for the spittle flying, too.
Oh, no.
Before we go to break, I want to make sure we get this in. So I had a listener text me or message us, and he had a great idea. So I put it together real fast during those stories. Are you ready?
Okay.
Okay, listen. That logic ties me up and wrecks me.
What's the great idea?
Did you hear it?
Yeah.
It was you getting tased.
I didn't know what it was.
I thought that was Homer Simpson.
Genius.
Waiting for the great idea.
Oh, shut it.
And that is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast. Dory's Fastest 15.
All right. I put that together real fast.
I know.
Now, that was impressive.
Yeah. I wish I had those kinds of production skills. Okay, Dave Wyman's going to join us coming up next.
Good job, Dory.
Thanks, Sean.
I think this is how Dave feels right now. So lonely.
I do. You know, I've been off for like a week.
I know.
And I came in.
I can't tell you how much time Nicole and I have spent talking about how annoyed we are by your schedule.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, work hit me in the face today, though.
How so?
Oh, just coming in meetings. Now I understand that you're gone on Friday, and, you know, there's all kinds of stuff going on.
Yeah.
Robinson Cano getting suspended.
Right.
Yeah. He's got a broken hand.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's all kinds of stuff that's been going on.
Sounds like your life is just burdensome.
It's really not. I've been very bored.
All of those
the
things
last
aren't
week.
Even. Unless you're going to fill in on Friday, that'd be great.
Yeah. Some people, you know, just have like a wedding to plan for and stuff like
that. We're working on it. We're working it through. So let's talk about this Robinson Cano thing. So an 80-game suspension for a violation of the baseball drug policy. He was ingesting a substance apparently that can be a masking agent or steroids.
Flushes your system out so you don't get, nothing's detected.
I just find this infuriating. And I'm furious at him. I'm furious at the selfishness of a ball player. When I was coaching, I would always tell the kids I would coach, if you break a rule, because I knew other teams where kids would do something stupid on New Year's Eve and get suspended, and it punishes your coaches, it punishes your teammates, your families. In case of a guy who's making $24 million a year, it punishes the fans who have been going out and supporting him. And I cannot believe the selfishness of people who ingest this stuff. And I know he says he didn't mean to, and I don't believe it.
Yeah. You know what's funny is I am exactly like you, but I always assume that the guy must have taken something by mistake, because why else would you do that? Why else would you jeopardize? For him, it's going to be like $11, $12 million.
But if you're making $24 million a year, aren't you careful? Wouldn't you check to see what you're ingesting?
I would.
And I just, so it's either a level of stupidity and willful rule breaking, or it's level of just disregard for not even checking. And either way, I don't get it.
Well, and not only that, Robinson Cano is the most wildly talented baseball player there is. You watch the way he throws, the way he fields, everything is just effortless for him. Why? Why would you need to do that? So I guess that's why I always assume, like, I'm almost giving him the benefit of the doubt that he screwed up somehow and took something, that he wasn't willfully doing it. He did something. It seems like it's hard to avoid all of the substances that are on this list. That's right. Just how it seems.
Right.
It was very cut and dried for me. I mean, you know, when I was playing, it was, look, if you were injecting yourself with steroids, then you were going to get busted. But there was not all this other stuff on the list.
Yeah, I don't know. And then as to why, I think about somebody like A-Rod, who, by the way, has had one of the most amazing career metamorphoses imaginable, because he was just a punk when he was here. Right. And he was, you know, just kind of a nasty guy. And remember when he accused, was it an ESPN reporter, of breaking into his house?
I don't remember that.
That apparently was a lie. And now ESPN just announced this morning, I think, that he's getting his own interview show. And there's a guy who didn't like the media, was surly, all of his records are tainted. And it's the same sort of thing. If you saw him in high school, and I saw a video of him in high school, unbelievable, natural, gifted talent. Why did he use steroids? But it's because they wanted to go from great to immortal. And I don't know. I don't know the answer as to why.
The thing that makes me the saddest about this is going to screw up his chances of getting in the Hall of Fame.
Well, it should.
I mean, he's...
Is he a Hall of Fame? Does he have Hall of Fame numbers?
I think so.
Does he?
Yeah.
Okay.
You look at the number of years that he batted over 300 and just how good he... Yeah, I think he's a Hall of Fame level guy, and this is going to screw it up for him. And he's still got a ways to go. I mean, the guy's still... I don't see him slowing down that much. And, it's a shame. It's really a shame. But, again, I always assume that, well, he must have, you know, screwed up and not paid attention to something on a label, because why else would somebody who's that talented take some sort of performance-enhancing drug?
I didn't realize how big his numbers were. His 2,400 hits? So, yeah, he could get 3,000.
Yeah.
If he sticks around for another 3 or 4 years. 305 home runs. Yeah, you're right. Those could be Hall of Fame worthy numbers.
It's a shame.
Well, it is. And then you get back to, you know, I just get so frustrated with these guys. And it's something you and I have talked about, you know, a fair amount off the air. It's this fear that I have that I think this is part of the problem the Mariners have, why they've had the longest playoff drought of any of the four major sports. The guys who want to come here, I'm not sure that they are that interested in winning a World Series. I think that they come here because the money's good, but the money could be good with the Red Sox or the Dodgers or the Yankees or, you know, a team that is a perennial playoff contender. But they come here because the money's good, because the pressure might not be that great. And this case, well, and if I use illegal drugs, maybe I can boost my numbers and make even more money. And it just makes me wonder about the type of person who wants to play on a team that's in the midst of a 17-year playoff drought.
Well, but, you know, it's like now people are making jokes about the Cleveland Browns.
Mm-hmm.
But it's different there now because it's run differently. It's run by different people. And I agree.
I don't think there's saying anything about current management.
Yeah. You think just in the past, in years past, that's been the case. Because I know you've thought that about Felix.
Yes.
Right? That he could have gone somewhere else. And why didn't he go somewhere in search of a title? But yeah, I think it's changing here. I do. I think that it's going forward. And I think it's starting to bear out that Jerry DePoto has made a lot of really good decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of those things that's just a shame. Now, he was going to be out a number of weeks anyway because he got hit in the hand with the fastball.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous the number of times Mariner batters get hit. I want to see someone rush them out. When's the last time you saw the Mariners in a fight?
I don't recall.
Yeah, I don't
know. It's been a
while? I think so.
Do you need to start sending a message?
I think so. Why do they keep hitting our batters? You know, Zunino gets tagged every other time.
Do we get hit more than most teams?
I think it's the number's up to like 17 or 18 this year. And quite frankly, I have no idea where that ranks. I just want to see a fight.
I'm with you on that. I just watched a few nights ago. I got lost on YouTube, and I'll just hit those sidebar videos on the right. And I watched the like the 20 greatest charging of the mound fights in baseball history.
Yeah. Oh, they're great.
And the best. Do you have a favorite one?
Well, I liked the one last year, and it made me really like Bryce Harper, where he went and he tried to throw his helmet at the guy, but you could just see the anger in his face, like, I want to kill this guy. He was really mad. And so that was a good fight. I like that one.
I don't remember who the batter. It might have been like Corey Kluber or something. But a guy charged Nolan Ryan. When Nolan Ryan was like 42, 43 years old, and he charged this old man on the mound, and Nolan Ryan immediately put the guy in a headlock.
And then started giving him the business.
A bunch of uppercuts.
Yeah, and some of them looked like he was giving him like noogies on top of his head.
Yes.
It wasn't Corey Kluber because he's a pitcher for the Indians.
Okay,
remember. Somebody charged the mound and got beat up by an old man.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I really enjoyed that. Okay, we got a lot more.
Michael Jackson.
That's half of it.
Michael Jackson and Paul McCartney.
Boom.
Oh.
Say, say, say.
Oh. I should have gotten this one.
I did get a clue, though.
Yeah. What was your clue?
He said there's another guy.
Oh. Yeah, you should
That's
have just
That's a pretty
said,
big clue.
Not quite. No. Okay, Dave Wyman's with us. We are headlocked in a 1-1 tie, and we have much more to discuss here as the Dory Monson Show rolls on. Collins.
That's wonderful, Dory.
Genesis.
Wrong.
It's good to turn
up. But that was very, showed up your smarts.
I just thought, just in case you were giving him the business,
yes,
that I would come in with Genesis.
I saw Phil Collins at the Tacoma Dome. Yeah. It's very disappointing.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know why. Just didn't do anything for me.
I went and saw Rush a few years ago because I'm a Rush fan, yeah. And I was like, you know what? That was better left in my memory.
Really?
Yeah, they had to take a couple bathroom breaks. I mean, they're old now.
Sure.
You know?
Yes, they are.
Geddy Lee can't hit those high notes anymore, so I'm like, okay. That was a kind of a mistake.
Yeah.
It was a mistake on my part.
I understand.
Yeah.
They identified their bathroom breaks during the show. They said, we'll be back in a minute.
I might be exaggerating. There might have only been one, but they did say that. And I was like, hey, I get it, man.
Yeah.
I'm right there with you.
How many times did you go during their show?
I did not.
Okay, good for you.
Yeah, because I wasn't drinking the $25 beers down at White River Amphitheater. Why do they do that? Because they don't want people to get hammered.
No, because they can.
Yeah, no, you're right. And I did.
Captive audience. Dave Wyman is with us. Man, you were all over the media the last couple of days, because you were the go-to person that everyone wanted to talk about with the passing of Seahawks coach Chuck Knox.
Yeah, well, you know, and I referred a lot of people to Paul Moyer, our buddy, because Paul coached with him. He knew him better than anybody and played for him longer than I did, but played with Chuck for 5 years. And I talked today to Keith Butler, who's the D coordinator for Pittsburgh. Him and I talked, and I almost had to have a translator because he's from the South. He says dad gum a lot.
That's, I like that.
Keith, you know, him and I had a nice talk about Chuck. You know, I'm not really that sad about it. I kind of knew it was coming, and I feel like the condition that he was in.
He'd been battling dementia for years, and it's so hard because, you know, my mom had dementia, and even if you know it's for the best, it's still tough time at that transition, but you also know that the quality of life for somebody in advanced stages of dementia is nothing. It's not what they would want.
Right. Yeah. I just think he's in a much better place and deserves that. So I just love Chuck. He was...
What made him so great?
Well, in the beginning, not so much, because he was tough, man. He was really tough. He'd let you know what it was about and tell you exactly how he felt, and he would call guys out in meetings. Like, if you got fined for something, there was some infidelity that struck in a hotel one time, and that person got fined and identified in the team meeting.
Really?
Yes. He would call everybody out, and that's the way he was. And it was one of the reasons why I'm on time, or at least I try to be now, and follow rules and things like that was because of Chuck. I thought he taught me how to be a professional. Plus, he was just a great football coach, old school, tough guy. Like I said, he'll tell you like it is. And, you know, the Knoxisms, I answered this. I can't remember who I was on with. I was like, I raised my kids on Knoxisms, you know, play the hand you're dealt. Don't tell me how rough the water is. Bring the boat in. You know, all those little phrases that he had were they just made sense and they applied to football and they applied to being a professional. I saw Chuck at the Super Bowl down in Arizona. The one that shall not be mentioned.
Yes.
And he was in a wheelchair, and when I came up, his face kind of lit up, and I got a picture with him. And surely his wife and his daughter said that he definitely recognized me, and that made me feel like a million bucks.
Yeah.
So I just he's one of those coaches that that I will really respect. And I've said this before, I have a best dad in the world, never been wanting for any kind of a father figure, but Chuck was one of those guys, I think, that at that point in my life, going from being – really a kid to a man, because you don't really grow up in the NFL.
Yeah.
I mean, in football, I should say. But when you become a pro and you start making money and being responsible for yourself, how to conduct yourself, he taught me about, to this day, I'm still a pretty, I mean, I think I'm a really good tipper. And it was because of Chuck, because he had this speech. He'd give it every year. He'd say, hey, when you're going around town, everybody's going to know who you are. So make sure you leave a nice tip. Otherwise, they're going to be watching on TV and they're going, yeah, I know that guy. That's Dave Wyman, and he's a cheap. And I can't say the next word. So, yeah, all of those things were awesome about Chuck. And some of the moments that we had with him, there's some good ones. I could tell one quick story.
Real quick.
Yeah. We went to Kansas City and beat them for the first time in a decade. And that was one of the places where you actually had to go into the airport. And a bunch of us trickled in after we won. That was one where Dave Craig ducks that eighth sack Derek Thomas and throws to Paul Scanzi. And we all trickled in there and we start drinking. And all of a sudden the plane was delayed. And then Chuck comes in. We thought, oh, no, he's going to kill us. Chuck peels off like $300 bills, starts buying drinks for everybody. We had a party. And nice. It's like the size of that bar was about the size of this studio here.
Yeah. Well, so anyway. I thought about you and Moyer because I've heard you guys talk about the Knoxisms, and I wrote that on Twitter right after I heard that Knox had passed, that you no doubt have shared the Knoxisms with your kids. They will share them with their kids, not knowing the source of them, and in that way, coaches live on. And I really believe that. I think that when you hand things down to the people you coach, then you get a sense, and I've talked about my friend Jerry, who I coached with at the state championship, who passed away 15 days later, and he talked about that. He said it's a way to become immortal, in a way, if you teach things that are handed down from generation to generation.
Another good Knoxism, and I will make sure they know it. Nobody wants to hear your sad story.
I like that.
Isn't that great? I love that. I love that one. So, very true. Seal.
Nice. Impressive.
Darn it.
Yes.
Man, 2-2 tie. Do you have a tiebreaker song in reserve in there?
Sure. Let me pull something up real quick.
Okay, we got 15 seconds.
I always think it can...
I have an ad.
I always figure that play Sean is annoyed. He's annoyed by this. Yeah, sure. Let me get right on that.
5 seconds.
Okay, it's a YouTube ad.
Yes.
We're gonna have
Black
to be
Panther,
quick.
Now on Blu-ray and digital.
Okay. Bruce Springsteen.
Yes.
Oh.
It's bruised and
battered. I could. Man.
I don't like Bruce Springsteen anyway.
Dave Wyman.
Who does he think he is?
You can hear him when the Mariners aren't playing. 3-7, 7-10 ESPN Seattle. Thanks for coming by.
All right, thanks.
Big Lead 2 is next.